Chapter 19. Knuckle Duster. They came around when Sunna's light started to fail. Late enough in the day, in fact, that I worried their drinks had a stronger pull than my insults. Warm golden light cut in through the tree boughs, throwing shadows down from the side. They pooled around our feet and fell across our bodies in mottled darks, and the parts that were still bright were too bright. I wondered if it would be hard for Risa to see, but was not worried. The two fights I'd seen him in, if you could call them fights, consisted only of him swinging an arm, and it was all over if he connected. I thought we'd do all right. One or two men at first. They came from between the trunks, hallooing softly as if there were forest spirits lying in wait, which maybe there were. They found our little clearing, just where I'd said it would be, and came on with purpose after. It was as if they were relieved to find that they were not the butt of some elaborate joke. But then, as they came closer, they got a good look at Risa. Then they came much more slowly. There were four of them at first, not all together. Two walking together, then another two spread out some paces behind. They laughed with each other quietly, probably still cautious of the city watch patrolling the wall, and when they saw Risa, their laughter died. I looked for the large one from the Forgotten Sadness, but he was not with them. In fact, I didn't recognize any of them from the sadness. "Good evening," I tried. They didn't answer, they just kept staring at Risa. I gave them a few moments to find their spines, and when they did, said, "He won't eat you."
"What? In Godan's name, is he?"
one of them asked. "I call him Risa." The man laughed. He sounded mad.
"Good name."
"I thought so." The other two had caught up to stand beside them. In the distance, I could see another three moving through the trees. I tried not to smile. It was looking like our own little Kraftkrieg. "I don't recognize you chaps from the Forgotten Sadness," I said. One of them stood a little closer than the others, or maybe the others were standing behind him. He said, "Don't frequent that shit pit. We heard a fella'd come to town to drop the glove and a dust-up out in the old forest. So we came to watch the show." His friend scowled at him and made to speak, but was elbowed silent. I smiled and said, "None of you have the stones, huh?"
"Just came to watch, as I said."
"What about you three?" I called to the others who approached from behind. Further into the woods, I saw another five come into view. It made me a little nervous, but it was very hard not to smile. There appeared to be another leader in the group of three as there was in the first group of four, and all of them had the thick shoulders and corded forearms of men who made their way by the strength of their backs, calloused men with hard edges and sharp angles. My kind of men, I used to think, before they'd all decided I was less than they. The leader spoke out as they approached.
"What about us? You're asking if one of our number will swat this supposed bruiser back to
Mother of Erda?"
"This is my friend Risa." Risa wasn't interested in any of it. At first, he spent some time looking from face to face, and at one point during our walk down, I taught him how to wave at strangers to signal he was friendly, so he waved at them here. But they did not wave back. Risa went to sit down beside Ambrosius and scratched him behind the ears a while. He ignored everyone else.
"Well, which of you goes first?" I asked. The one who'd come on all full of bluster and lust quietly said,
"Just come to see the fight."
"Lo opix," the leader of the first group said.
The new group of three went to go stand by the other four.
"Lo hardlip," said the other.
I was starting to worry. It seemed plenty would come to join us. I saw more people through the trees all the while as we stood there. But few or none would fight. How the fuck was I supposed to make any money if none of them would fight?
"Look, y'all can't just be out here to watch. There's nothing to watch even if no one will fight."
One of them pointed at Risa and said,
"Fight? That? Are you mad?"
"He appears flesh and blood to me," I said.
"He appears a fucking tree."
Anyways, 2 bits a man to watch.
Oh, I'd have a pint for that. You can't charge us to be out in the wood. This is common land.
Law of the road says I can send you away from my camp, I said. This is my camp. I wonder how far Risa could toss you lads. They all began to dig through their purses. More arrived as those nearby dropped their bits into my purse and moved aside. Among them, I saw the larger brute from the Forgotten Sadness. He was impossible to miss. He stood at least a head taller than all the rest. More and more people came, and as I watched them all, I worried that so many would come that I wouldn't be able to control them with my words or Risa's size. I wondered if the watch would come out as well. It was looking like a huge crowd, and such a thing is impossible to keep quiet during a good fight. The watch would certainly hear us when the fun began. I wondered if they'd try to arrest us or just lean on me for their cut. The large man from the bar was followed by many others, fanning out behind him like his own personal mob, and as they came closer, I could hear some of them singing happily, though their dialect was so thick I only got a few words out of every 20. I suppose they'd traveled down from high country at some point. The large man had a swagger, and I could tell he'd continued to drink long after I'd left the sadness, and that his friends had probably covered his bill, and that he'd made many more friends than he was used to, all of whom had covered his bill. They all wanted to see a good fight. His cheeks were rosy in the fading light, and he smiled so much his eyes fairly disappeared. In the pub, I think I hated this man. And yet, as he approached, I thought I'd never been happier to see anyone else. "Here's one fully intact, I'll bet," I said. "Look at him come. I'll bet his wife hasn't taken his balls yet. Not like the rest of you lot."
"Has not married,"
one of the singing oncomers shouted back. I wanted to wince, but by then I figured controlling any noise was a lost battle. Either the watch came or they didn't. It was out of my hands. "Oh, well, that explains it," I said. "He's not dead yet." Laughter from the crowd, and I congratulated myself. The large one stopped in front of me, put his hands on his hips, and cracked a grin fit to split his head.
"Why, hello, small man. What's your name?" I tried.
"Hartungus!" shouted the crowd.
He continued to smile. I couldn't help but smile myself, the poor bastard. "Hartungus, how are you feeling? Ready for some exercise?" He slapped my shoulder, kindly it seemed, and sent me a few steps to the right.
"I'm starting to like you, I think."
He smiled. His teeth looked very small in his head.
"You can't afford me."
Then he threw his head back and laughed hard enough to shake the tree branches. The others with him laughed as well, but I felt as though they did it out of obligation.
"Where's your man?" Hartungus asked.
"Scratching his ass." Hartungus looked beyond me to Risa and seemed to consider him closely, squinting, as if he read a sign poised all the way at the south pole of Erda. Then he sniffed, spat into the dirt, and muttered,
"Doesn't seem so impressive."
The growing crowd cheered, probably relieved someone was stupid enough to make the trip worth the effort. "Wonderful," I said. "Is there anything you must do to prepare?"
"Think I'll go have
a shit," he announced, and turned to go find a tree far enough away to be decent. His friends slapped him on the back as he went.
10 minutes, I called.
"Need only 5, small man. She's breaching."
"Oh, for the love."
"Knew 'twas you, Udo. When I heard the rumors in town, you know what I said to myself? I said, well, and so this sounds like Udo. And look who I find."
I spun, and standing apart from the crowd just off to my right was Geffen, the sheriff of Plotzdorf.
"Geffen? What in freak's taint are you doing out this way? Are you sheriff of Rothenburg now? You haven't come to break us up, have you?"
"Nah, passing through. Not a sheriff anymore, Rudo. Just traveling a while now."
"Where are you heading?"
"Don't really know yet," he said.
He sounded sad somehow.
"You'll tell me over a drink?"
"I'm buying," I said.
Then, to the crowd, I shouted, "Anyone not fighting, that's 2 bits to watch, and move yourselves over to the side with the other kept and married men whose hearts have all withered in their cages. The mob grumbled and began to stretch out and surge. They looked like water sloshing around in a tub, or a vast flock of the small, dark birds we get sometimes in the sky that heave forth and back, to and fro, like smoke blown on the wind. Most of them broke off to line up on my left, digging through their purses like those who'd come before. While they rummaged for their fee, I leaned close to Geffen and whispered, "Nothing about my profession, hey? Do an old friend a favor?" Geffen shook his head and whispered, "Course, Udo. Every man deserves a chance to escape his past. Besides, seems your profession's changed some." "Maybe," I said, bouncing the purse gently as strange faces passed by, dropping their payment into it. "If I can make it work and the fucking watch doesn't come break us up. Think they will?" He shrugged. "Who knows? Depends on how slow a night it is, maybe." I nodded. That seemed hopeful. "Come to fight?" I asked. He stole a glance at Risa. "Maybe. Geffen, I know you've never passed a scrap in your life, but if you never listen to another man in your life, hear me now. Sit this one out." He looked into my eyes carefully, and I think he must have seen there was no con. Slowly, he nodded and said, "Ma may have raised me stubborn, but left stupid on the workbench. Sure and fine. Think I'll sit around out and get a sense of how the monster moves, eh? Good friend, Udo. Luck." I nodded as he went to go stand by a tree.
"Why doesn't he have to pay?"
It was a man who just dropped 2 bits into my purse. "He already has," I muttered, waving him on. After a while, the line thinned out. There was now a large crowd of men circling the edge of the clearing to watch, while a handful remained in the center with me. Risa leaned against a tree and continued to scratch Ambrosius behind the ears. I suspected the handful who stood around to fight must have drunk as much as Hartungus, enough so that having a chance at the giant seemed a remote fucking possibility. We heard a whoop come from the trees, and a few moments later, Hartungus emerged into the clearing, laughing happily and scratching his balls. "Okay, small man, how do we do this?" he called. He slapped his thighs with his hands and they cracked like thunder. I'd been thinking about that myself. I had considered and discarded a few different angles, mostly because they all would have required me to hang my ass out too far. But charging the spectators was an idea that had come by the seat of my pants, and now, standing there with a heavy sack of money, I felt better about improvising. I held up the purse and said, "This, for any man who can beat my friend. This here is promised money. It won't be any less than this. I didn't bother to count it as they tossed it in, but every man you see standing around us now has thrown in 2 bits. Hartungus puckered his lips and nodded in appreciation as he looked around the clearing. "It's good money," he rumbled. I was pleased to agree. "If any of you good men wish to place wagers, you're welcome to do so, but you must make your bets amongst yourselves. I lack the capacity to track the comings and goings of such a large gathering, honestly, and I don't feel like arguing with you all when it's time to settle up. You'll make your bets privately, man to man. The first one to beat Risa over there gets the purse. If none of you best him, the purse is ours. Agree?" They talked it over between themselves, and pretty soon heads started to nod. I nodded along with them. I was very pleased with how it was working out. It had never occurred to me that I could con men with honesty. And now I was in the middle of the job, it seemed always to have been the best way. I saw money begin to exchange hands, and in some cases thought I saw the silver glint of a mark or two. That also was good. Marks were all well and good enough to drool over most times. But I saw the glint of only one or two, and I held a whole sack of bits. I was happy with my take. Greed had never been the downfall of a lesser man. Hartungus smiled and then bowed slightly to me. "Thought earlier I'd like to crush you, small man. Glad I didn't now. This bit of fun'll keep me fed, drunk, and fucked a good old while.
Several of the onlookers erupted into a cheer at this, and I couldn't help but smile. Artungus seemed a man who understood the finer things. No eye gouging, I began. Won't need to fucking gouge, Artungus groused. Fine, let me finish. No eye gouging, eh? No shots to the balls, no hair pulling, and no attempts at breaking bones. Accidental breaks may happen, but they shall be accidental. How does that sound? Can I at least hit the bastard? We can try anything you like, so long as it isn't eye gouging, shots to the balls, hair pulling, or bone breaking. He laughed. Agreed. You're witnessed now. Go back on your word and the purse is forfeit. Artungus does not fucking renege, he hollered. Another goddamn cheer. I wondered if we'd need to stoke up a fire to see the fight. Accepted, I shouted over them. And let's get to it already. I'll have your word, too, Artungus glowered. You're witnessed now. Your man does any of those things. The purse is mine, eh? Of course. Shake with me, small man. He held his hand out. I glanced at the others and then looked at the hand. It was very large, and I wasn't sure what to do with it. I couldn't remember the last time anyone was willing to shake with me in public like that. It started to be uncomfortable with everyone waiting on us like that, so I finally had no choice but to put my hand in his. What's with the linens? Artungus asked. He looked closely at the cloth I'd wrapped around the golden diamonds Ing had given me. Did you blister your hands abusing yourself, small man? I smiled again. I liked Artungus. I couldn't help it. My fucking donkey. The other night we came upon a stream after a long day of travel, and the bastard bolted toward it so fast that his lead ripped the flesh damn near to the bone. Artungus grinned, took my hand, nearly crushed the fucking thing, and laughed. Your donkey. Surely. We all laughed with him. Risa, come over, I said. It's time. He nodded, rose slowly, and then I heard many gasps as he just kept on rising, higher, until his head almost disappeared into the leaves. He came forward at my gesture and stood before Artungus. Artungus, who stood head, shoulders, and sternum above me, who now stared directly into the sternum of the giant. He tilted his head back to look up at Risa, who smiled far, far down. He's bigger standing up, Artungus swallowed. I sighed. I thought I'd better adjust my tactics in the next town. Maybe pick out the most likely brawlers and keep them drinking all damned night before bringing them to the fight. Most men think they can kill Tyr if they drink enough. Artungus had a look on his face that told me he'd not drunk enough. You're not backing out, I asked. You've shaken now. That's a forfeit. Artungus looked at me in a way that said I was insane. Be reasonable. Did you shit your sand away out amongst the trees? He winced and rolled his eyes. Please, I never been scared by anything in my life, and no intent of starting now. But look at him. I need an axe to bring down that fucking tree. The men surrounding us were nodding at this, and I realized that shaming Artungus wouldn't be enough to make him fight, not if he had the support of the others. You can't shame a man when his friends support him. Let's do this, I said. Pick two more men from that vanishingly, embarrassingly small group of real brawlers there, not the ones holding up all the trees on the edges, those ones who have sawdust for gravel, but two of our fighters. The three of you have a go at once, and I'll tell Risa to keep his hands open. Open, you say? That's right. You lads may punch and kick. He'll just grapple. How would that be? Reckon you'll be able to pursue your trade on the following morning, eh? Artungus nodded thoughtfully. Sure. And I don't guess you can make her any fairer than that. Okay, small man. He squinted at the smaller group of brawlers. I noticed they'd been backing away slowly before he locked them with his eyes. You, and you, come stand with me. Oh, I,
Artungus, he's certainly... I'm not sure if...
Come stand with me, fucking slug, or show yourself gutless. They came. They sure didn't seem happy, though. Three men, small man, he smiled. Bring us that bloody tree. I bowed and pulled Risa a few steps back. Then I quietly said, keep your hands open, Risa, do you see? Here. That's open. Now that's closed, you see?
Open.
That's right, keep them open no matter what. He looked at his hands very seriously, nodded at me, and smiled. Try not to hurt these men, okay? They seem all right. Risa cocked his head as if he didn't understand, and so I said a little prayer to Ing for Hartungus' safety. Are the combatants ready? I called.
Soon, while we still have the fucking light, Hartungus shouted.
Get scrapping then, I yelled. I think the reason they all just stood there was because Risa is so goddamned large. Like a mountain, Hartungus and his two friends were looking him over, probably searching for handholds or something. Maybe planning the best way to climb him or chop him down. They never took on a threatening aspect. They just stood there with their hands on their hips and looked him over. Well, this is going to be about the saddest match in history, I grumbled, and began to prod Risa further into the center of the circle. He'd been standing closer to the edge. You lads, you circle around him or something, okay? Maybe it's not so daunting if he isn't looking at you. Loving Ing, it's like taking a virgin to choose a whore. Over there, Risa. Just a little further into the clearing, that's a boy. The three men from Rothenburg spread out from each other and began to circle slowly around the giant, eyes darting around like they expected him to lash out at any time. They crouched low with their arms spread wide and sidestepped, never blinking. Before long, their legs appeared to be vibrating from tension. And Risa, the great ox, just stared at them all, confused, as if he thought they had come to dance with him. Then I guess Hartungus got bored with the whole thing, or maybe he was embarrassed about his own caution, but either way, he hauled a right straight into Risa's back, the fucking coward, straight away into the kidney. His hand bounced away as if he'd punched a stone, and I saw Risa's flank twitch. It twitched just like a horse's flank does when it's trying to shoo the flies away. He didn't give any other indication of noticing Hartungus' attack. He didn't even look over his shoulder. He just kept staring curiously at the two men in front of him, both of whom bobbed and weaved like a couple of wagging cocks. It was on the tip of my tongue to scream at Risa, to try for his attention, maybe pantomime a swing for him to mimic. But that would have been interfering. It was a real scrap we held in that clearing, and certain rules went along with it. Risa had to be on his own, and hopefully figure it out in like fashion. He would just have to learn to talk. That's all there was. The con wouldn't become smooth until I could bring him in on it. They circled around him like that, just kept circling, hungry, like he was a meal too large for their mouths. They made me think of certain wolves I'd seen in years past that would range behind a sick ox or a young calf for several milen, long enough for it to be exhausted and weak enough to bring down. They looked like a pack of wolves circling Risa. They looked like a pack of men ranging after a woman in the city back alleys, waiting for her to become weak, too weak to fight, waiting for her cries to weaken, though they don't matter. No one ever comes running for the cries that come from the back alleys. Those in the back alleys are on their own, always. They looked like a pack of men chasing juice down a back alley. Hartungus, the large, plodding, prodding prick to his two little balls circling around Risa. And looking at his two friends, I began to think of them as high and low. The spectators, the gathering of brave, worthy men who'd come to fight, then promptly paid their two bets to bravely watch. They all, I swear to the high nine, began to boo the combatants their flaccid lust. I was disgusted, until I saw the effect this had, saw how it affected High, Low, and Hartungus, and thought it might be all right after all. And just like that, High, who must have possessed more shame than the others, took a swipe at Risa. He only got as high as the chest. I imagined he'd have had to jump to catch Reese's chin, and his hand bounced away just as Hartungus's had. It surprised Risa, though. He flinched away like an arrow had been loosed right at his heart. Then he looked back at Hai, and the look I saw in Risa's eyes turned my guts to a slick of runny, muddy shit threatening to slip right down my leg. Risa was afraid. No, more than that. He was terrified. I couldn't believe it. Those men were throwing everything they had into him with each shot. I saw Hartungus wince as he shook out his hand after that first sally at Reese's kidney. If he couldn't see them swinging, he wouldn't have even known they were attacking, but he saw them coming and was terrified. High, Low, and Hartungus all picked up on this and were emboldened by it. They began to swing freely, wildly. They swung as hard as they could, allowing themselves to overbalance on the follow-through, fearless of counterattack. Every shot bounced off the giant's hide, each one equally useless, and sometimes one of them even impacted a spar of bone. Then the action let up a bit, as the one who'd hit the bone whipped his hand through the air like an asshole, hopping around and wincing while he waited for the feeling to come back. I started screaming along with the rest of the crowd, rules of interference be damned. I screamed for Reese's attention, waved my arms over my head, jumped and raved for his notice. The crowd covered my cries. Hartungus continued to attack along with High and Low, and pretty soon, Risa was bent double with his hands held over his head. I yelled at him to stand up again, that he'd put his chin in range of their punches crouching low like that, but the attacks had ceased by then anyway. Hartungus, High, and Low just stood there looking at him, and the crowd stood around them looking at Risa as well, and none of them looked very impressed. The fuck is this here, small man? Hartungus demanded. Let me talk to him, I said. I just need to talk to him a moment. You said we were to be exercised for this man. Yeah, just get the fuck out of the way a moment. Risa, come here. I felt Hartungus's hand on my shoulder again, squeezing as hard and harder than it had at the forgotten sadness. But then my whole body was jolted when his hand was knocked away. When I turned to see what by hell's grace had happened, I saw Geffen squared up on Hartungus, glaring up into his face with his squinted little Geffen eyes. His lips were pulled into a tight, colorless line, and his hands, which seemed so bloody small next to Hartungus's, were balled into sharp knobs. Another small man, Hartungus laughed. Small or not, I've money riding this fight. If you'll abandon the fight and pursue another, I'll have the money settled from the one to apply to the next. Hartungus considered it a moment and nodded slowly. He's right, he shouted over the crowd. Where is the other small... There you are. Here, small man number one. Give me the money so that... I beg your fucking pardon, I coughed. The fight is a loss. Come, don't be ridiculous. Give me the purse, and we can set the next round in motion. The encircling crowd grumbled loudly, and Hartungus's eyes darted around. I started to think he was smarter than he let on. He said, Or, call it a draw, and give these people their money. Look, it's easy. Anyone standing on the edges has paid 2 bits, eh? Give each watcher 2 bits. And then let's be about a real knuckle duster. This is irregular. This is a fucking violation, I shouted. The agreement was that the man who defeated the giant took the purse. The giant has not been defeated. There he stands, as unhurt as ever. He wouldn't fight, you fucking chiseler, Hartungus shouted back. Call the watch if you feel ill-treated, but on the while... Return these men their money so we can have a new fight. Damn it all, I came out here to have a fight and I don't mean to leave until a fight's been had. The crowd was with him. They all looked at me sullenly, muttering in the low, hidden language of the mob, and whereas before the men in the circle looked prepared only to watch, now they looked ready for much more. I realized I couldn't shout my way through, couldn't reason with them, shame them, nor twist their words to bind them. I sighed,
shook my head sadly, and said the only thing I could think of. Well, shit. Look, you bunch of officious twats. I come out here to throw hands with somebody by fucking tier and make myself a bit of scratch. Did any of you want to fight, actually? Or was it jawing you were ready for, and jawing only? It was Geffen, standing now in front of Risa like a hired guard. His legs were spread wide, and his hands were still bound into little knobs. He was taller than me, a bit taller, but not so tall as most of the men out there. A life of toil had thickened his shoulders and neck, and I figured he must have spent time working a real farm before he got into sheriffing. And yet there were many men out there thicker than him. And he looked at them all as if they were flies crawling over horse shit. Hartungus looked at Geffen a while, seeming to work it over in his slow, stupid way, and smiled.
I'd fight you. Everyone here is all right with a change of opponent?
Then the crowd worked it over in its slow, stupid way, and smiled. I saw them start to pass money back and forth, and realized that bets were being canceled in some cases, established in others. While they were all busy figuring it out, I leaned close to Geffen and hissed, "Do you know what the fuck you're doing? What the fuck are you doing?"
"Rescuing you, you goat-licking fool. Shut up," he whispered.
"Rescuing me? Geffen, do you see the size of that idiot? You're not much bigger than me, and he could shit me through his ass without straining." Geffen looked at me. He looked bored, if you can believe that, and said, "You're free to bet, Udo. But do it wisely. And get the fuck out of my way while you do. Swear to Siegsneed, never had to talk a man into saving his life. Piss off now." I shrugged and went to stand by Risa, who was busy huddling next to Ambrosius like a buffoon. "You and I are gonna have some fucking words about this later," I whispered at him. He just looked at me with those huge eyes, and I'll be damned if he understood a word I said. Hartungus approached Geffen and looked down at him. Geffen's eyes were on the level with his collarbones, and he, Hartungus that is, seemed to like the arrangement far more.
"Same conditions as before?" he asked.
"Sure," Geffen said. "You'll need your two friends anyway." Hartungus' eyes widened.
"I meant the purse, small man. I won't need help for you."
There were some excited oohs and ahs from the crowd, and it seemed money was changing hands ever faster now.
"Won't need help," Hartungus repeated. His smile was very warm.
"Best bring him anyway," Geffen said, and then he'd say no more. Hartungus smiled, shook his head slowly, then extended his hand to shake. Geffen shook it, and they went to opposite ends of the clearing. Hartungus threw his arms wide, smiled for the crowd, whooped for the crowd, and the crowd whooped for him. Geffen stood close to our side of the circle, but seemed to have forgotten all about us. He was rolling up the sleeves of the old homespun work shirt he wore, trying to get them to stay up by the elbows, but the sleeves were too wide and loose to stay up. Finally, he got tired of screwing with it and just pulled the shirt off over his head. The crowd got a look at him then, at his pale white skin, the muscles that moved like taut little ropes beneath. He looked like a man that grew up hungry. You could see his backbone standing out like a knobby trail, and under his arms, you saw a rib or two sliding beneath the surface like the limbs of a slim woman moving under linen sheets. His arms were all scarred up, and on the left side of his belly I saw a mark that looked as if it might have been a stab wound. He was all hard points, bone, and dried out leathered muscle under flesh so white it blotched red in the cold air. Grown up hungry, like so many of us, and his body had grown only so large as his life had allowed. Hartungus looked like he'd never missed a meal in his life. I imagined he'd either been strong enough to always make a wage, even if it was just dock work in a river city somewhere. Or maybe he was just so fucking large he could simply take food whenever he desired it. Hartungus smiled at Geffen like he meant to fuck him raw.
"Geffen, let me give the money back," I whispered, looking at that fur-bearing monster.
"This is senseless, please.
Came for a fight, Udo. Won't leave without it. I sighed. Great. Goodbye, then. I backed away a bit, looked around to see if anyone else would come to their senses, saw they wouldn't, and moaned. Have at it. And they did. They went straight at each other, Artungus swaggering and smiling, while Geffen just drove straight ahead, almost as if Artungus wasn't even there. He had his arms down at his sides, hands still balled into fists, and he marched ahead as if he thought he could just plow right through him. I winced, but some kind of diseased fascination within me would not allow my eyes to close, but my mouth puckered up as they neared each other. Pretty soon, Artungus swung. It looked slow the way he did it, as if his arm flew at Geffen from another country, and yet we all thought we could feel the air kicked up. Artungus's arm seemed as heavy as my whole body, and I thought if it connected, Geffen might fly all the way to High Country. It didn't connect. Artungus swung at the place Geffen's head used to be, while Geffen ducked low and swung down with his right in a plummeting shot. His fist sailed through the air unhindered, but then the point of his elbow buried into the muscle of Artungus's thigh. I saw the muscle part around the elbow. Thought the low light was playing tricks on my eyes. But I guess it was no trick, because all the color drained from Hartungus's face as if he were being bled on a hook. He clutched at his legs with both hands, gasping, and began to stagger. Then, Geffen beat the living shit out of him. There was no art to the way Geffen fought. No style, no amount of skill I could detect, no finesse at all. He just came straight at you. Sometimes he'd let you swing first, and maybe sometimes you got lucky and caught him a good one across the jaw or the eye. But that was the only one you caught. He knew the best places to hit, the places that hurt immediately instead of eventually. He knew the softest parts of the stomach, knew the places on the limbs where the nerves rode closest to the skin. He could find your nose whenever he wanted to. He knew how to pinch bundles of tissue just so that you would freeze up and forget about your attack, or knew how to stagger you, or could make you flinch when he wanted to, or could duck under a shot and make you miss when he felt like it. And then, just as he did with Artungus, he'd have a hand wound up in your shirt, would have you on your knees while he stood over you, and would just hammer down on your face like a smith shaping iron. Shot after shot after shot after shot, until you weren't moving anymore, you died, or someone pulled him off you. It took three men, two of whom were those guys high and low from before, to pull Geffen away. And when it was over, Artungus just lay there in the dirt, snoring loudly with huge blood bubbles bursting at his nostrils. Geffen came back to stand beside us, his hands still balled up into little fists at his sides, and shouted, "Well?" Bet started trading back and forth suddenly, frantically, like the men surrounding us suddenly had the idea they'd stumbled into something quite special. More men towed up to the line, ready to test themselves. They seemed to adjust their tactics after each bout. Each new man who came at him tried to do it differently than the last, and sometimes they fetched a lucky shot. Bruises started to stand out on Geffen's body. After chewing through a few men, one of his eyes had swollen shut, and soon after that, his bottom lip was bleeding. But his expression never changed. His eyes were dark slits, and his mouth was a colorless line across his face. And every time he hammered some poor fucker into the dirt, he would come back to stand next to us and shout the same thing. "Well?" After a while, the challenges came slower. When he beat the snot out of the 23rd challenger, the rest of them just gave up and yanked the drawstrings on their purses. Through the whole damned thing, Geffen didn't look like slowing down once, no matter how much punishment he absorbed. He looked like he would have gone on like that forever. Might even still be doing it today if he hadn't run out of challengers. I'm telling you, the man was not normal.